Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Is the former Buffalo Bill that, and of course, played in all those great Bill teams and went to the four straight Super Bowls. And he's going to be part of the broadcast team with CBS on Sunday for the Jet-Dolphin game at MetLife. Steve, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. So what'd you think of Sam Darnold's debut the other night?
Well, I thought it was pretty impressive, particularly given the fact he throws the pick six and bounces back as well as he did. And I think the most impressive thing for me, and the thing that I was, you know, as a guy here living in Buffalo watching the Jets play the Bills twice a year and being in that AFC East kind of mindset, the bummer of it was for everybody else in the division was that the team and the roster around Sam Darnold seemed to light a fire because of his play. That Jet team was unlike any Jet team I've seen play for a while. They were inspired. They played good in all three phases. I thought the whole team took a cue from Sam Darnold, and I think that spells good things for the Jets.
You know, one thing that, and Steve, Evan and I both, I'm a Jet fan for 53 years, so I mean, I got scars on my body. You have no idea. With that said, one of the things that really jumped out at me was how well the offensive line played in this game. I mean, they played a lot better. You know, they rushed for 169 yards in this game. I mean, Darnold was sacked a couple times. One of them was on him. But overall, they played very well in this football game.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, they're not playing in a vacuum. You can say what you want about the Detroit Lions, but sooner or later, you know, the talent on both sides of the ball, no matter who you're playing in this league, is going to show through. So you're going to give up a player or two here. But
right,
you're right.
Right.
The Jets played well, I mean, in all phases. And I think particularly when you play early, that well early in the season, it can be a springboard toward giving you a good September, a good month of September. Now, you know, they're going to be a different vibe coming out of the building in 3 weeks. And in 6 weeks, there's going to be a different vibe than there was 2-3 weeks from now. So they're going to evolve throughout the regular season. But no question, once you show that kind of performance in a season, you know it's in there somewhere. And that's what you're striving for every week. And I think it gives you a lot of confidence going into practice on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and week after week, knowing that you've got that in your tank. And if you can pull it out, you're going to beat anybody you play. So I think the Jets, you know, it's hard to imagine them in a better spot than they are right now.
And all of that very quickly can change if they come out at MetLife Stadium against the Dolphins and put up a stinker. And that's what concerns me. They played on a Monday night. They got a lot of national attention. They played almost the perfect game. When you think about specials, defense, forcing turnovers, the quarterback bouncing back. How do you, especially as a young team like the Jets, and unfortunately a franchise that over the last couple of years has had this happen, where they put up a dud after a really solid performance, how do you avoid, you know, letting it go to your head and putting up a stinker after you put together such an all-around performance to start the year?
Well, I think that's on Todd Bowles. I think it's on their coaching staff. They got to come out and use that game they put up on Monday night as motivation to prepare this week. You guys know, I mean, these games are won Monday through Saturday, and Sunday just kind of shows you that they won it during the week, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, and as far as being on a short week, listen, you may as well say the Dolphins are on a short week, too. They had a seven-hour day on Sunday.
Right,
you know,
right.
That set them back. I mean, they're going to have a hangover on Monday from that game. So I think that's kind of a level playing field, but I don't think there's any question. After you got to have a team that can handle prosperity, and that's on Todd Bowles and his coaching staff. If they come out and lay a dud, that's on the coaching staff. They got them ready for week one. What's the problem with getting them ready on week two? So if they do come out and lay a dud, you got to lay that on the feet of the coaching staff and maybe some of the veteran players on this team. Hmm. Maybe that's one thing Sam Darnold doesn't know about yet is making sure he sticks his head in the huddle yesterday and today and say, hey, guys, let's go. You know, that's another thing a starting quarterback is supposed to do. He's got to set the tone as a guy who's pulling the trigger, and he played as well as he did you know, he better be the guy that shows up at 5 a.m. and says, hey, guys, let's go. This is, and we're not done here. And so a little bit of that's on the coaching staff. A lot of it's on the leaders of that team. And that's one more test for Josh Darnold or for Sam Darnold to pass.
Steve, what are the Miami Dolphins right now? Obviously, they win this, like you said, the seven-hour day, the two-hour lightning delays. But they won the game. You know, obviously, the Titans were banged up. Mariota went out of the game. But they win the game at the end of the day. What are the Dolphins in your mind right now?
I don't think the Dolphins know who they are. I mean, that game was hard to get a handle on it. You know what I mean? I mean, how do you know?
Right, right.
I mean, how do you remember the last series, let alone, you know, what you're supposed to be doing? And the game plan probably evolved during that game like no other game you'll ever witness. I think the Dolphins are a team. I don't think there's any question that Adam Gase is trying to change the culture in the room. And it's hard to imagine for those people outside of Miami to think that the Dolphins are thinking they're going to get better and lose Ndamukong Suh and Jarvis Landry, and they're going to get better on either side of the ball. But the Dolphins are going to try and do it. They're going to try and do it with 53 guys on their roster rather than rely on about four or five guys to get them through the season. It's a good start for them, no question, but I think the Dolphins are in a transition year. But I think they're on the right track. I like Adam Gase. He's a young, energetic head coach, kind of has a college kind of feel to him and his vibe coming out of the room when we sit down with him in production meetings. He's got a lot of energy. I think the players really relate to him really well. I think they're going to play hard for him. And I think, for me, I'm really tipping my hat to the moves that they've made this offseason because they're trying to get better and win a championship. They're not just trying to get to the playoffs. They're not just trying to skate through. So I think they're in a little bit of a transition. I think they came out on top in that game against the Titans. But I don't know that anybody thought the Titans were going to come in and vie for a playoff spot or a Super Bowl this year either.
Yeah, and it was such weird circumstances in that game. The Dolphins, they're weird to me because there's a couple of guys that scare me going into Sunday, specifically guys that can get to the quarterback. Because I don't know how good the Jet offensive line is. They played well against the Lions. Ansah was hurt for a while, but Cam Wake, even though he's almost 50 years old, always seems to sack 10, 11 guys a year. You mentioned that they're trying to win. They added Robert Quinn, which was a pretty interesting acquisition. Not a guy who's 25 years old. How about the challenge this Jets offensive line faces protecting Darnold? Because the Dolphins have a couple of guys that can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't think that I was surprised that they handled the Lions like they did. Ziggy Ansah is no shrinking flower. Ziggy Ansah can get after the quarterback. Now, he didn't play the entire game against the Jets. He had some issues. But I think this is a Jet offensive line. They're going to have to come in with a plan and then a plan B if Cam Wake and the rest get after him. And I think they will. The thing I like is it's so hard to find a chink in the Jet armor this early in the season because I don't think they even know who they really are yet. But you can bet they're going to have a way with a guy like Sam Darnold in there. They're going to keep their tight end in. They're going to chip with the back. They're going to go max protection if they need to. They're going to run a screen game. They're going to make sure that if somebody starts knocking Sam Darnold around, they're going to batten down all the hatches, make sure he's protected. Now, that may be limit him on the outside, but I like what they did on the outside. They got a lot of guys that can really scoot. That's going to come to their aid in this because a defense is really going to have a hard time throwing eight guys in the box, rushing and blitzing Darnold when they've got a lot of speed on the outside they've got to contend with. The Jets have built themselves what looks like a nice little toolbox for whatever the Dolphins are going to dish out at them, particularly in the pass rush. Their offensive line showed up. I think all of us were surprised at how well they played. If that continues, you know, then that frees up Darnold to just be himself and relax back there like he did. I mean, so I'm not really worried about the Dolphins pass rush. They may get to Darnold once or twice. You would expect every team to give him some problems at least once or twice during the game, maybe once or twice a half even. But if you can keep him clean the rest of the time, the guys on the outside seem to be a handful because of their speed, and I think that's what the Jets will lean on.
You know, one guy, again, we're talking to Steve Tasker. He'll be part of the broadcast team on Sunday at MetLife Stadium when the Jets play the Dolphins in a home opener. You know, Quincy Enunwa, and he missed the entire year last year. This guy, to me, he's huge. He had a big game. You can already see he's got a little chemistry going with Darnold. Six passes, 63 yards and a touchdown. And he's such a hybrid-type guy, Steve, that I think he's a very tough matchup for defenses. How about that for Enunwa?
Yeah, and that is true because he's kind of a you know, he's oversized, right? I mean, the guy's big.
Right, right.
That presents a problem. And particularly when you can move him around. I think one of the things you can do with Darnold and this offense, if you can get him, and a lot of NFL teams have this in their toolbox, where they can put any receiver in any spot they want and get the matchup they want. And it's up to Nunwa to win. Plus the fact that he's way different than the other guys they've got. So he's the guy that I think defenses will, particularly given the day he had last week, as you mentioned, I think he's the guy that you're going to have to put your crosshairs on if you're the Dolphins' defense. And how they play him is going to dictate what happens with him during that day. I think if they start saying, listen, we got a guy we think can match up on him, well, the Jets need to find out if they can. And if he can, then you got to go someplace else, but or move him around and force the defense to go after him. So I think you can bet Nunwa is going to be in the game plan. He's going to play X, he'll play Z, he'll play Y, and they may put him in the backfield and break the formation with him shifting out one side or the other and see what how the defense reacts to him. But I agree with you. I think he's the key guy that, you know, the Dolphins are going to have to find him, and I think the Jets are going to try and hide him and move him to make it difficult. So if they can get the Dolphins to be thinking about where he is and then snap the ball while they're still thinking, you're going to get a lot of advantage out of that.
And then possibly, like they did last week, blow the top off the defense by finding Robbie Anderson. Mm-hmm. He was only targeted once, but it was a big play when they targeted him.
Listen, there's a lot of things to like. I mean, they got a lot of weapons. All of a sudden, it's like, well, if they do that, you see if you've got an answer. Because in that first week against the Detroit Lions, you did. The Jets did have an answer. And all of that stuff put together puts the Jets in with a little confidence and a lot more tools in their toolbox. So I think that's the fun part about it for the Jet coaching staff is they got some guys that, you know what, they had a pretty good outing, and whatever we asked them to do, we won. That's a good spot to be in when you're facing a division opponent in the home opener, because you're going to come out with a lot of confidence. And you put a lot of pressure on a defense that really, I think, is still looking to find itself after a seven-hour game on a Sunday afternoon.
Steve, let's talk a little about the rest of the division. Let's go to your old team, the Bills. I mean, they got beat up by the Ravens, but they're going to start Josh Allen now this week. They play the Chargers at home, and I'm not a big fan of the Chargers. I'm sorry. And they're a big number, too. They're a seven-point underdog at home. But how about Buffalo? What's your thoughts on Josh Allen right now?
Well, his physical abilities are far and away the reason he's on the field. Plus, the fact that Nate Peterman was completely ineffective in Baltimore. There was a driving rainstorm. Baltimore's defense was very salty. It was their home opener. A lot of things working against him, but they just absolutely did not show up offensively. Their offensive line was outmatched. It probably will continue to struggle this week. And that's going to be an issue. Now, Josh Allen, because of his arm strength and because the guy can really run around, he's a good athlete, gives him a chance at least to keep the defense honest in the secondary, because he can throw a deep comeback to the far side of the field and get it there in a big hurry. But there's no question. I think this caught the Bills a little off guard. No doubt they wanted an excuse at some point in the season to put Josh Allen in, but there's no question. This is a little earlier than they thought it was going to happen, but I think to give themselves a chance to win and to sell it to the locker room, they had to make the move.
Before we let you go, is there any chance that the Patriots take a step back at all this year in your mind?
Maybe a chance. I mean, we've all seen it. There might be a chink in the armor. Maybe this is a year they go 11-5, 10-6 instead of 12-4,
right,
13-3.
Right.
You know, I mean, what are we talking about?
No, I understand.
You know, you're talking. That's what's going to happen. I mean, there might be a chance that Tom Brady misses one or two throws in a game that he would make when he was, you know, 5 years younger. There may be a chance that the culture in that locker room is a little bit weakened by the fact that Tom Brady is a little bit fed up with being a whipping boy on a Monday after they win by 15. You know, maybe there's a chance that the guys are seeing the end of the tunnel. Maybe Bill Belichick. He's going to be true to his word. He doesn't want to do it when he's 70, and he knows he's closing in on 70. He's going to be 67 after the season. I mean, maybe he sees the light, and maybe they take their foot off the gas a little bit. They're still going to be a good football team. Now, once they get into the playoffs, I think there's a lot of teams in the conference that could take a good swing at them and get them out of the playoffs. But, you know, that's still a team and an organization that you got to count on at the end.
Yeah, I know. Man,
it's depressing.
We're well-versed. That's why I threw the question at you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're all – yeah. The AFC East,
yes.
Outside of New England, the AFC East is all 90% scar tissue.
Yes. You know? Amen.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed, you're right. Thank you, Steve. We'll be watching
Steve,
on Sunday.
Steve, I appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it. Take care.
Thank you.
Steve Tasker, the Jets Dolphins will be on CBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.